grab a whiteboard marker, because today we are architecting production grade systems. And I want to be really clear right up front, we are stepping entirely away from the theoretical.
Right, bypassing all the marketing hype.
Exactly. We are digging directly into the deeply technical, the practical reality of building reliable AI agents. If you spend your days in an IDE, if you are wrangling TypeScript, debugging Node backend services, and just trying to figure out how to make large language models actually do useful work without breaking your entire system, you are exactly in the right place.
Yeah. It's good to be here mapping this out. And that distinction you just made is crucial to establish immediately. We are not talking about chatbots today.
No, definitely not.
We aren't looking at simple text generation or, you know, basic wrappers around an API. We are examining true long horizon autonomy. The core engineering challenge is taking a highly complex objective, breaking it down into a deterministic structure, and executing hundreds of steps over an extended period of time. Unsupervised.
Completely unsupervised. And with a high probability of actually succeeding.
Exactly. Which is the hard part.
Right. And the path to achieving that success rate requires understanding a fundamental architectural shift that is happening across the industry right now. We are doing a technical deep dive into the plan and execute agent pattern. Now, developers universally start with basic loop-based agents.
The standard React loop.
Yeah. But we are looking at the documentation detailing exactly how and why production systems are migrating away from those reactive loops and toward structured deterministic pipelines.
Because every engineering team building in this space eventually hits the exact same wall of complexity. You start with a simple reactive loop because, well, it is incredibly easy to prototype.
You can build it in an afternoon.
Right. Then you attempt to scale it to handle real-world multi-step tasks, and the entire system just collapses under its own weight. At that point, a complete architectural rewrite is basically unavoidable. And to guide that rewrite for you today, we have an exceptional stack of source material to unpack. We are analyzing a series of highly technical readem excerpts from a TypeScript agent patterns repository. What I love about this is it treats the AI not as magic, but just as a standard software component with specific implementation trade-offs.
Which is exactly how we need to treat it.
And alongside that repository, we are referencing a really comprehensive technical specification on long horizon autonomy that details the exact patterns cutting edge labs are deploying in 2025 and 2026.
What makes these documents so valuable is their rigor. They approach agent architecture strictly through the lens of traditional software engineering.
Yes.
They address the unglamorous but absolutely vital aspects of system design. State management, testability, predictable latency, API cost optimization.
The stuff that actually keeps your production servers running. So our mission for this deep dive is to deconstruct this transition from the loop to the pipeline. We will explore the theoretical foundation, obviously, but more importantly, we will outline how you can implement these exact architectures in your own Node and TypeScript environments.
Think of this session as two senior developers standing at a whiteboard sketching out the data flow.
I've got the red marker, you've got the blue.
I prefer the black marker, but sure. We will cover the mechanics, the trade-offs, and the specific code patterns required to build reliable software. But let's establish the baseline first. We really need to examine React.
Right. React, or reasoning and acting. It has been the foundational blueprint for agent design for years now. If you have built an agent using early versions of LangChain, or if you have simply written a raw asynchronous while loop in a Node environment that calls an LLM over and over, you have built a React agent.
For a long time, it was considered the definitive way to give a model agency.
The architecture is just a continuous interleaved loop. The model receives a prompt, generates an internal thought about what to do next, executes an action by calling a tool, observes the result of that tool, and then feeds that observation right back into its context window to generate the next thought.
And the documentation notes that for specific categories of problems, this pattern remains highly effective. Those problems are specifically defined as tasks with strict sequential dependencies.
The sources use a hotel booking analogy that illustrates this perfectly.
Yeah, that's a great example.
Imagine the objective is to secure a hotel reservation. The execution of the booking step is strictly gated by the availability check. You cannot physically or logically attempt to book the room until the system has confirmed that the room is available for those specific dates.
And you can't check availability until you have parsed those dates from the user.
Exactly. You have an unavoidable linear chain. Step B requires the explicit output payload of step A to function. Because the language model must evaluate the result of the previous action before it even has the logical context to formulate the next step, the React loop is theoretically ideal here.
The model stays perpetually in the loop. It is constantly evaluating the absolute freshest state of the world after every single network request.
But the architectural flaw emerges when you attempt to scale that linear paradigm to complex tasks, tasks that are composed of independent, parallelizable subtasks.
Right. The structural limitation of React becomes the primary bottleneck of your entire application. The sources refer to this specific limitation and the massive resource drain associated with it as the React tax.
The React tax. That term perfectly encapsulates the pain of building these systems. Anyone who has accidentally left a React loop running overnight against a complex objective only to wake up and check their OpenAI billing dashboard.
We've all been there.
Oh, yeah. You understand the React tax on a visceral level when you see that invoice. Let us look at the actual math behind that token bloat.
When you map out the token consumption of a React trajectory, the inefficiency is staggering. Consider just a 10-step process. On the first iteration, you send the system prompt, the user's objective, and the model generates its first thought and action. Let's say that consumes roughly 1,000 tokens of context.
Okay, 1,000 tokens, not bad.
The system executes the tool, gets an observation. Now, for the second iteration, you must append that new data. You send the system prompt, the objective, the thought from step one, the action from step one, the observation from step one, and then prompt the model for step two.
So you are appending every single network response, every single internal thought to an ever-growing array of message history.
Precisely. By the time you reach step 10, the model is not merely processing the data relevant to step 10. You are forcing the LLM to completely reread, reprocess, and recalculate attention over the entire historical log of steps 1 through 9.
Which it already solved.
Exactly. The context window becomes a massive redundant ledger. For a 10-step task, a React agent might consume 40,000 tokens simply because it is repeatedly reprocessing its own history. The React tax manifests as skyrocketing API costs, but more critically for developers, it manifests as exponential latency.
That's the killer.
The model takes longer to respond on step 10 than it did on step 1, simply because the input sequence is vastly larger.
And if you are building a user-facing node application, latency is fatal. A user is not going to sit staring at a loading spinner for 3 minutes while a React loop synchronously processes 10 distinct API calls, paying the React tax on every single turn. This architectural bottleneck is the catalyst for the industry's migration to our primary topic today, the plan and execute pattern.
Okay, let's unpack this. The conceptual leap here is shifting from a continuous while loop to a strict decoupled pipeline. Plan and execute typically operates in three distinct phases. Phase one is the planner, phase two is the executor, and phase three is the synthesizer.
You are fundamentally separating the high-level strategic reasoning from the low-level tactical execution.
Right. Let's contrast that hotel booking scenario with a broader example from the sources. Imagine you are building a comprehensive trip planner. The user provides the prompt. Plan a weekend itinerary for Kyoto.
The dependency graph for that request is completely different from a simple sequential booking.
Entirely different. To build that itinerary, the system needs to query flight availability, it needs to query hotel options, it needs to look up highly rated tourist attractions, and it needs to find restaurant recommendations.
Those are four distinct, structurally independent tasks. The system does not need the flight number to query the museum API. It does not need the hotel address to search for nearby ramen shops.
There is no strict sequential chain. It is a horizontal set of data lookups.
And if you force that horizontal task through a vertical React loop, the system queries the flights, blocks the thread, and waits for the LLM. It queries the hotels, blocks the thread, and waits. The latency stacks linearly.
But by separating the strategy from the execution, we eliminate those sequential bottlenecks. The planner model evaluates the objective, the Kyoto weekend, and determines the strategy up front. It maps out the four independent tasks. Because those tasks do not share dependencies, your node backend can dispatch them in parallel to multiple executor functions.
You utilize Node's native asynchronous capabilities. You can have four different worker functions firing off HTTP requests simultaneously. You are compressing what would have been minutes of sequential LLM processing time into the few seconds it takes for the slowest external API to respond.
That parallel dispatch is the primary performance driver here. But to understand how this is actually built, we need to dive into the specific code mechanics outlined in the TypeScript repository. The entire architecture hinges on a core function the documentation calls createPlan.
Right. And unlike a React agent, which might make dozens of LLM calls to navigate a task, create plan, is typically a single isolated invocation of the language model.
Just one call to draw the map.
This is where the engineering approach really diverges from traditional prompt engineering. We are not writing paragraph-long instructions begging the model to return data in a format we can parse using messy regular expressions. The sources highlight a massive architectural win. Utilizing the format JSON parameter or the newer structured outputs features in modern SDKs.
You are configuring the LLM to act strictly as a deterministic structured data generator. You are forcing a probabilistic, non-deterministic system to adhere to a rigid data contract.
Its only job is to output a valid JSON object representing the execution strategy, but that raises a question. How does the model actually know what tools are available to construct this JSON object?
That's a great point.
Because in a standard OpenAI tool calling setup, you have to pass massive, deeply nested JSON schema definitions for every single function your system possesses. If you have 50 tools, that schema definition alone can consume thousands of tokens. The write.me details a surprising optimization here regarding how the planner prompt is constructed.
Yeah, the documentation reveals that injecting full JSON schemas into the planner's prompt is actually an anti-pattern for this specific architecture.
Really?
Yeah. It creates massive token bloat and makes the prompt nearly impossible to maintain. Instead, the optimal approach is to list the available tools as plain text descriptions. You construct a lightweight prompt that simply states, you have a tool named Search Flights that requires origin, destination, and dates. You have a tool named Search Hotels.
And the LLM is sophisticated enough to read those plain text descriptions and independently structure the resulting JSON-directed acyclic graph, or DAG.
Exactly.
Now, for developers who might not regularly map out execution paths, a DAG in this context is just a JSON array of task objects where the dependencies flow in one direction. It ensures you never create an infinite loop where task A waits for task B and task B waits for task A. The model outputs a clean JSON array. Task 1 is flight search, task 2 is hotel search. And this output completely redefines how we handle application state.
What's fascinating here is that state management is perhaps the most critical distinction between these two paradigms. The plan and execute pattern elevates the plan to a first-class object within your application architecture.
Because in a traditional React loop, state is entirely ephemeral. The state of your application only exists as a string of text sitting within the model's active context window. If the model hallucinates a bad parameter, your state is corrupted.
Or if the context window hits its token limit and truncates the history, your state is permanently lost. You are delegating the runtime memory of your backend to a probabilistic text predictor.
Which is terrifying.
From a systems engineering perspective, relying on a text array as your primary source of truth is incredibly fragile. But when CreatePlan generates a physical JSON object, that plan becomes a tangible first-class citizen in your node runtime. It is visible in memory, it is inspectable by the developer, and crucially, it is finalized and fixed before a single external tool is ever invoked.
And because it is a fixed JavaScript object, we can enforce strict type safety. The repository explicitly details integrating schema validation libraries like Zod to create a hard boundary between the probabilistic LLM and the deterministic execution environment.
If you are building in TypeScript, Zod provides the necessary runtime validation. You define a strict schema representing your expected DAG structure. Every task object must contain a tasked string, a description string, a tool name string that matches an enum of your available tools, and an imputargs object.
When the LLM generates the plan, you pass that payload through the Zod schema before doing anything else.
Right. But what happens when the model inevitably makes a mistake?
Because it will.
It absolutely will. What if it hallucinates a tool that does not exist, or forgets to include a required parameter like the destination city? And Zod throws a validation error. In a React loop, a bad tool call often just results in the model talking to itself, trying to fix the error in a loop until it times out.
That is where the pipeline architecture really proves its resilience. If Zod throws a Zodder, you catch that exception natively in Node. You do not let a malformed object proceed down the pipeline and crash your executor functions. You handle that error programmatically.
You might capture the Zod stack trace, detailing exactly which fields were missing, and send a single retry prompt back to the planner model, something like, your previous JSON failed validation with these specific errors. Correct the structure.
You resolve the structural issues at the boundary. Once the JSON object successfully parses through Zod, it crosses into your trusted environment. It becomes deterministic type safe data.
And once we have that validated JSON DAG, we hand it off to what the technical specification calls the task fetching unit.
Let's talk about that. If we have successfully decoupled the strategy from the execution, how does the system handle tasks that actually do have dependencies? Parallel execution is fantastic for independent lookups, but eventually, task 3 might genuinely need the specific ID generated by task 1.
Right. The task fetching unit is the native execution engine you build within your Node application. It does not rely on the LLM. It parses the validated JSON graph and orchestrates the execution. It scans the array of tasks and identifies all nodes with zero dependencies. It immediately dispatches those to your executor modules using promise.all, leveraging Node's event loop to handle the concurrent network I/O.
So fires off the independent flight and hotel searches simultaneously, but how does it resolve the dependent node?
Through variable substitution. When the LLM generates the plan, it uses specific syntax for dependencies. The imputargs for task 3 might contain a value like hashtag E1, which serves as a pointer, indicating that this field requires the execution result of task 1.
Ah, okay.
The task fetching unit maintains an internal state object mapping task IDs to their resolve promises. When task 1 resolves, the fetching unit takes that resulting payload, performs a string replacement on the hashtag E1 placeholder in task 3's arguments, and only then pushes task 3 onto the execution stack.
The elegance of this is that you have built a complete asynchronous data flow pipeline, completely isolated from the language model. The LLM acts solely as the architect. It draws the blueprint. Your native node event loop manages the promises, handles the race conditions, and moves the variables around.
A model does not even need to be active during the execution phase,
which is huge. And the isolation of those phases unlocks profound economic advantages. Segmenting the context window in this manner fundamentally alters the unit economics of agentic systems.
The technical specification provides a compelling mathematical breakdown here. It indicates that teams can achieve up to a 5x cost reduction compared to maintaining a massive monolithic React loop.
Achieving a 5x reduction in API spend purely through architectural refactoring is a massive claim. Let us break down the pricing mechanics of that.
It comes down to routing the data to the appropriately sized model. The planning phase requires deep, complex reasoning. The model must understand constraints, logical routing, and dependency graphs. Therefore, you route the create plan call to a massive, expensive frontier model. In the current landscape, that means utilizing OpenAI's O1 or O3 or Anthropic's Claude 3.5 Sonnet. You are paying a premium for the architectural intelligence.
You hire the most expensive engineer to draw the blueprints.
Exactly. But once the plan is formalized into a JSON object, the execution phase requires almost zero reasoning. The executor model receives an incredibly narrow, highly scoped instruction. Take this specific query string and format it for the flight search API.
You do not need a frontier model to perform basic data formatting. You can route the execution tasks to blazing fast, highly cost-effective models like GPT-4 Mini, Claude Haiku, or even a local, finely tuned open weight model running on your own infrastructure.
You are dynamically swapping out the engine mid-flight based on the cognitive load of the specific subtask. And because the executor model only receives the immediate context it needs for that single task, not the entire historical ledger of the plan, the context window for those execution calls is microscopic.
You are paying fractions of a cent per execution.
Right. Once the entire DAG is resolved, you collect the raw JSON responses from all the tools and pass them to the final phase, the synthesizer. You might spin the heavy reasoning model back up for this final call to generate a cohesive, polished summary for the user.
So you optimize the cost curve by only utilizing massive parameter counts when complex reasoning is explicitly required.
Exactly. Furthermore, because the application state is maintained as a standard JSON object rather than a transient context window, you unlock architectural capabilities that are virtually impossible with React. Persistence and UI integration become trivial.
Let's talk about that. If the state of the agent is just a JSON object mapping task IDs to execution statuses, that object can be serialized and written to a PostgreSQL database. It can be cached in Redis. You can implement comprehensive logging, allowing you to trace exactly what strategy the agent formulated before an external API failure crashed the process.
The documentation extensively references state machine frameworks like LangGraph, which are designed precisely for this kind of persistence. LangGraph maintains a persistent state object outside of the execution thread.
So if your node server crashes or is preempted during a 50-step execution pipeline, the memory of the agent is not lost.
Not at all. Upon reboot, the system queries the database, retrieves the JSON state, identifies which nodes are marked as completed, and seamlessly resumed execution at the exact node where the interruption occurred.
Attempting to resume a partially completed React loop after a server crash is functionally impossible.
And context is just gone.
Gone. But beyond disaster recovery, treating the plan as structured data enables human-in-the-loop workflows. You can pass that JSON object to your React or Vue frontend and render a visual representation of the DAG. You present the user with a clean UI component detailing the 10 steps the agent intends to take, and you provide a physical approve button.
For enterprise applications, that capability is non-negotiable. You cannot deploy an autonomous system that silently executes 40 database mutations or triggers external financial transactions without explicit oversight. Rendering the plan allows the user to audit the strategy, verify the tool arguments, and provide authorization before the system burns a single token on execution.
It effectively bridges the gap between total autonomy and necessary human oversight. And this architectural maturity is precisely why we are witnessing massive industry adoption of the plan and execute paradigm. The major AI labs and tooling providers are not merely discussing this in blog posts. They are hard-coding these pipelines to the foundation of their platforms. The most dramatic shift is occurring at the lowest layer of the stack, with the models themselves.
While we have discussed explicitly prompting a model to generate a JSON plan, OpenAI is actively internalizing this entire pattern into the core functionality of their latest models. The technical specification explores the architecture of the O1 and O3 models, introducing the concept of latent reasoning.
Latent reasoning essentially functions as an internalized, invisible planning block.
These models are trained using advanced reinforcement learning techniques to perform a comprehensive, internalized chain of thought process before they emit a single visible token back to the API client. It is, fundamentally, an implicit plan and execute phase occurring within the neural network itself.
When you submit a complex prompt to an O1 model, it does not immediately begin streaming a response like GPT-4. It pauses.
It's thinking. Within its hidden latent space, it breaks down the objective, maps out a strategy, explores multiple solution paths, identifies logical dead ends, backtracks, and self-corrects. It acts as its own internal architect.
It is running a localized plan and execute loop entirely within its own parameters. But the technical specification includes a severe warning for developers building systems around these reasoning models.
Yeah, the latent planning might be hidden from the developer, but it is certainly not hidden from the billing department.
The compute required for that internal planning is substantial. It consumes space within the context window, and the API provider bills those latent thoughts as output tokens. The specification provides a strict architectural guideline. When building agentic workflows utilizing O1 or O3, developers must architect their token management systems with a dedicated reasoning buffer of at least 25,000 tokens.
A developer must explicitly reserve 25,000 tokens of context solely to provide the model with enough blank space to formulate its plan.
If you fill the context window with raw data and leave no headroom, what happens?
The model literally runs out of cognitive space to map its strategy and will hallucinate or fail the task entirely. The architectural constraints of the planning phase dictate how you manage your data payloads, even when the provider abstracts the planning itself.
Moving up from the model layer to the tooling layer, we see this paradigm dominating the developer experience. The evolution of agentic IDEs relies entirely on separating strategy from action. Anthropic's Claude Code is a premier case study in utilizing plan and execute as a strict safety mechanism.
A purely reactive agent deployed within a production code base is a massive liability. If it encounters an error, a React loop will simply begin mutating files immediately to try to resolve it, often introducing cascading failures across the project.
It's terrifying to watch.
Claude Code mitigates this by implementing a rigid four-phase sequence: explore, plan, implement, commit.
The feature is explicitly named plan mode. During the explore phase, the agent is restricted to using read-only tools. It can grep files, read documentation, and build a mental model of the repository architecture, but it cannot edit a single character. Once it understands the context, it generates a comprehensive markdown plan. This document outlines the specific files it intends to modify, the architectural approach it will take, and the edge cases it has identified.
This markdown document functions exactly like the JSON DAG we discussed, but formatted for human readability. It surfaces the internal strategy for developer review. The developer can edit the markdown file directly, correct assumptions, dictate specific library usage, and provide architectural constraints. Only when the plan is manually validated does the agent transition to the implement phase and begin generating code. It prevents premature, destructive action.
The sources detail an alternative approach to this problem taken by Windsurf, utilizing what they call the cascade architecture. While Claude Code uses strict phase gates, Windsurf introduces concurrency.
Windsurf's implementation is a masterclass in concurrent agent design. Instead of halting execution to plan, Windsurf deploys a planning agent that runs continuously in the background, operating alongside the primary execution agent.
You essentially have two specialized agents running simultaneously.
Exactly. The execution agent is focused on short-term tactical actions, writing functions, running unit tests, fixing syntax errors. Meanwhile, the background planning agent acts as an automated project manager.
It observes the execution agent's progress, evaluates the test results, and dynamically updates a long-term plan, treating it as a living to-do list. If the execution agent attempts to use a deprecated API and fails, the background planner instantly recalculates the overarching strategy and updates the remaining tasks without halting the developer's workflow.
Another IDE, Cursor, focuses heavily on the persistence aspect of the planning phase. Cursor automatically saves the agent's generated plans as actual markdown files within a dedicated .cursorplans directory in the project source tree.
The architectural blueprint is literally committed to version control.
Yeah. If a developer works with the agent on a complex refactor, closes their laptop for the weekend, and returns on Monday, the agent does not need to rebuild its context from scratch. It simply reads the saved markdown file to restore its understanding of the overarching strategy. It achieves persistence through the native file system.
However, the most computationally aggressive implementation detailed in the sources is Amazon Q Developer. They have taken the plan and execute concept and expanded it horizontally across multiple concurrent timelines. Amazon developed a custom execution framework called Text Code, which provides the agent with a highly token-efficient text-based simulation of an IDE.
The core innovation is how it handles the planning phase. When a developer submits a complex feature request, Amazon Q does not generate a single definitive plan. It generates multiple competing candidate plans simultaneously. It initiates an automated architectural bake-off.
An architectural bake-off.
It orchestrates a massive parallel processing environment. The system spins up 5 specialized sub-agents for each candidate plan: a development agent to write the code, a documentation agent, a testing agent to write the suites, a review agent to critique the architecture, and a dedicated 3-agent debugging cluster.
It executes these divergent implementations concurrently within the isolated text code environments.
It evaluates the empirical quality signals, specifically which architectural plan actually compiles and passes the unit tests. And it only surfaces the most successful, proven implementation to the user. It is leveraging massive parallel compute to brute force the optimal plan and execute pipeline.
That approach requires a phenomenal amount of computing power. Running 5 complex agentic loops in parallel just to decide on a plan is incredibly resource intensive, but it demonstrates the scale at which enterprise systems are operating. And this concept of utilizing massive compute during the planning phase to guarantee execution quality is not confined to Western tech companies. The technical specification dedicates significant analysis to how the Chinese AI ecosystem is optimizing for this exact architecture.
Labs such as Alibaba and DeepSeek are heavily focused on optimizing models specifically for long horizon tasks. We are moving beyond building a React component and examining massive, exhaustive data processing workflows. We're looking at tasks like ingest and analyze 500 PDF financial reports and synthesize a comprehensive market analysis.
The models deployed for these tasks must be fundamentally engineered to sustain long-term logical coherence. Let us examine Alibaba's Qin model, specifically their Tongyi Deep Research Architecture, which was built to solve a critical failure mode known as cognitive suffocation.
Cognitive suffocation is a highly descriptive term.
In the context of a long-running agent, how does that failure manifest?
Consider an agent that has been executing for several hours and has performed 200 distinct web searches. The context window is completely saturated with raw HTML snippets, paginated API responses, tracking garbage, dead links, and irrelevant noise.
Mm.
The agent becomes so overwhelmed by the sheer volume of unstructured tactical data that its attention mechanism degrades.
It literally loses the ability to recall the original strategic objective.
It suffocates under the weight of its own execution history.
It is the architectural equivalent of a human falling down a 3-hour Wikipedia rabbit hole and completely forgetting what they originally intended to research. To mitigate this, Alibaba implemented a heavy mode called Iter Research, which incorporates a specialized memory management component called AgentFold.
AgentFold functions as an automated garbage collector for the agent's context window. Instead of allowing the execution history to append endlessly, AgentFold proactively manages the data structure. After the agent completes a specific phase of its research plan, AgentFold pauses the execution.
It takes the massive accumulation of raw tactical data, processes it through a summarization pipeline, extracts the critical insights, and integrates those findings into a highly condensed central report outline.
Once the insights are secured in the central outline, what happens to the raw HTML and search logs?
It purges them entirely. It wipes the tactical workspace clean. AgentFold dynamically reconstructs a fresh, streamlined context window for the next phase of the plan. It ensures that the agent always maintains immediate access to the high-level objective and the distilled learnings without being burdened by the raw data from 200 operations ago.
It is a highly sophisticated memory management strategy designed specifically to sustain long-horizon pipelines.
That leads directly into the architectural innovations detail regarding DeepSeek R1. The open source community heavily utilizes R1, and the specification highlights how its specific design supports this extensive planning phase.
DeepSeek R1 utilizes a massive 671 billion parameter architecture, but it is built on a mixture of experts, or MoE, foundation.
For developers who primarily consume APIs and might not configure model weights, the MoE architecture is fundamentally about routing. Instead of activating all 671 billion parameters for every single token generated, which would be prohibitively slow and expensive, the neural network is divided into specialized clusters, or experts.
For any given token, a routing algorithm selects only the experts most relevant to the current context. During inference, R1 only activates approximately 37 billion parameters per token. You gain the comprehensive reasoning capacity of a massive frontier model, but the latency profile and hardware requirements of a significantly smaller model.
Because of that specific reasoning capacity, R1 is optimally deployed as the director model within a multi-agent system. Its primary role is not to parse web pages or execute code. Its role sits at the top of the hierarchy. It evaluates complex requests, generates the overarching JSON DAG, and delegates the tactical nodes to specialized worker agents.
R1 was trained using a reinforcement learning pipeline that aggressively incentivizes the generation of deep, well-structured reasoning chains before outputting final plans. However, the documentation highlights a critical failure mode engineers must anticipate when utilizing R1 as a director model: underthinking.
Given that it was trained specifically to think deeply, how does underthinking manifest in production?
The director model will begin generating a highly sophisticated reasoning path, logically mapping out the initial phases of the execution strategy. But occasionally, the model will suddenly abandon that logical thread before fully exploring the consequences, jumping prematurely to a final conclusion or an incomplete plan.
It essentially loses patience with its own complex reasoning.
Exactly.
If the director outputs a truncated, half-finished DAG, the downstream executor nodes will inevitably crash. How does the specification recommend engineering around this?
You cannot trust the director's output blindly. The recommended pattern is to build a hierarchical evaluation structure. R1 generates the plan, but before that plan is passed to the task fetching unit, it is routed to a dedicated supervisor agent.
This supervisor is typically a smaller, highly focused model whose sole responsibility is to analyze the director's reasoning chain. If the supervisor detects that the director underthought the problem, failed to resolve a logical dependency, or left a critical edge case unaddressed, it forcefully rejects the plan.
It returns an error to the director, forcing it to loop back and complete its thought process.
You are building a secondary AI system specifically to audit the primary AI's architectural homework before allowing the system to proceed. That level of defensive engineering perfectly illustrates the reality of deploying autonomous systems in 2026. This brings us to the central debate surrounding this entire paradigm. Here's where it gets really interesting. We have established why plan and execute is powerful. It provides parallel execution, it slashes costs, and it mitigates cognitive suffocation. But we need to examine the primary engineering trade-off. We must address the inherent tension between structural rigidity and runtime adaptability.
In software engineering, architectural decisions always require sacrificing one capability to enhance another. The pure plan and execute pipeline we outlined is highly performant precisely because it is rigid. The plan is a fixed contract. The problem arises when the execution environment diverges from the model's initial assumptions.
Let us return to the trip planner scenario. The planner generates the DAG. Task 1 dictates, query the flight API for travel to Kyoto on these specific dates. The task fetching unit executes the request. However, a massive weather event has grounded all flights. the external API returns a completely empty array.
If you were running a traditional React agent, the system would handle this gracefully. The React loop would receive the observation, an empty array. The model would evaluate that state and reason. Flights are unavailable for these dates. I must adapt. I will pivot my strategy and search for flights to a nearby airport like Osaka, or I will prompt the user to adjust their travel dates. The React loop is inherently adaptable. It pivots midstream based on live data.
But our plan and execute pipeline lacks that localized reasoning. The executor functions are entirely mechanical. They just run the code they're given. The executor module receives the empty array. It has no capacity to understand the implications of that failure, and it simply passes that empty data downstream.
It proceeds to blindly execute the remainder of the DAG. It queries hotel APIs for dates the user cannot arrive and searches for restaurants the user cannot visit. It burns compute resources executing a completely doomed strategy, ultimately handing a massive pile of useless, disconnected data to the synthesizer.
This is the fundamental challenge of the pipeline architecture. If we accept the rigidity of the pipeline to harvest the benefits of low latency and reduced cost, how do we engineer the system to prevent these catastrophic, cascading failures during execution?
The sources provide two distinct strategies for handling this. The first strategy focuses on the design of the tools themselves and the configuration of the synthesizer. The Reithian explicitly instructs developers, design your tools to return useful context even in failure states, because the synthesizer is your final line of defense.
In a rigid pipeline, your tools cannot be allowed to simply throw generic 500 internal server error exceptions and crash the node process. The error handling must be deeply integrated into the data payload. If the search flights tool finds node data, it must return a structured object that provides context, such as status, failure, reason, weather event detected, suggested alternative airports, Osaka.
You push the burden of contextualizing the failure down to the individual tool APIs.
The synthesizer model sitting at the end of the pipeline receives this contextualized failure data alongside the successful hotel and restaurant lookups. It evaluates the entire dataset and must synthesize a coherent response out of the broken pieces. It formulates a reply to the user. I successfully located excellent accommodations and dining options in Kyoto. However, due to severe weather events, all incoming flights are currently grounded. We will need to replan the logistics.
That approach guarantees a graceful degradation of the user experience, but it still ultimately results in a failed task. The agent did not achieve the objective. For systems requiring higher reliability, production environments utilize the second strategy, the hybrid solution. They wrap the rigid pipeline inside a macro-level iterative loop.
This hybrid approach is essentially the architecture powering tools like Devin. You wrap the plan and execute pipeline in an evaluator optimizer loop.
Exactly. Devin analyzes a code base and generates a comprehensive upfront execution plan. You retain all the benefits of the pipeline inspectability, ZOD validation, parallel execution. However, if Devin encounters a critical roadblock during execution, if a compilation step fails or a necessary external package is deprecated, it does not blindly continue executing subsequent steps.
The system halts the execution thread. The synthesizer takes the failure context and triggers a replanning event.
It passes the stack trace and the execution logs back up to the heavy planner model. The prompt essentially states, "Our initial mental model of the system was incorrect. The execution of the DAG failed at node 3 with these specific errors. Analyze the failure, update your strategic understanding, and generate an entirely new JSON DAG to resolve the issue."
You synthesize the advantages of both architectures. You utilize the structured, deterministic, testable pipeline for the execution phase, but you wrap that pipeline in a high-level React loop to ensure the system can adapt to unforeseen environmental changes. It is the evaluator-optimizer pattern applied to the system architecture itself.
You have a generator defining the strategy and an evaluator analyzing the execution state. If the state diverges from the expected parameters, you optimize by forcing a replan. This is the blueprint for building self-healing systems.
And this structural rigor seamlessly translates into the final and perhaps most crucial advantage of the plan and execute pattern. We need to examine how these systems are evaluated. Testing probabilistic systems is a notoriously difficult engineering challenge.
It is the absolute bane of AI development. Testing a pure React agent is functionally equivalent to herding toddlers. You give the system an objective, and depending on the specific temperature setting of the model or slight variations in API latency, the agent might traverse 10 wildly different unpredictable paths to arrive at the same conclusion. How do you write a deterministic unit test for an execution trajectory that mutates on every single run? it is practically impossible.
Because of that unpredictability, engineering teams are typically forced to evaluate only the final synthesized output. Testing the end result is slow, expensive, and fails to identify exactly where the internal logic broke down. But plan and execute completely changes the testing surface area.
Because our create plan logic is isolated into a standalone exported function that returns a standard JSON object, testing the AI's complex reasoning becomes a standard software engineering practice.
You do not need highly specialized tooling. You can write a standard unit test using Vitest or Evalite. You can literally run pnpm eval.watch in your terminal and test the model's logic instantly.
We are shifting the testing paradigm to plan-level evals. You are no longer testing the messy, real-world execution. You are rigorously testing the architecture of the AI's thought process in a simulated environment before a single external tool is invoked.
When a developer writes a Vita suite for a planner module, what specific assertions are they evaluating?
You are primarily asserting structural integrity and logical routing. You feed a highly complex edge case prompt into create plan, capture the resulting JSON DAG, and write standard assertions against the object. Did the plan correctly identify and include all four required tools? Did it accurately extract the origin and destination parameters from the user's messy, unstructured natural language input? Did it map those parameters to the correct keys in the imputargs object?
You can programmatically traverse the DAG in the test suite to check for circular dependencies. Does task A depend on the output of task B, while task B depends on the output of task A? If your unit test catches that structural flaw, you reject the plan immediately, saving your production system from dropping into an infinite loop and crashing the node server.
This specific testing methodology supports a concept the technical specification refers to as economic reasoning, often benchmarked using frameworks like CostBench. The primary objective of economic reasoning is to mathematically identify and reject highly inefficient strategies before you spend capital executing them.
The execution phase is where the API costs compound. If your agent is tasked with locating a specific record and the planner decides the optimal strategy is to run a brute force sequential search across a massive database instead of utilizing an existing index search tool, that is a terrible strategy. You want to catch that failure at the plan level. The unit test evaluates the DAG, identifies the brute force methodology, fails the assertion, and rejects the plan. You just saved the company significant database compute costs by failing early.
You are verifying the economic viability of the strategy. That level of pre-execution validation is only possible when you strictly separate the plan from the action. However, while validating the plan is straightforward, evaluating the final synthesized output requires a different approach. The sources outline a highly specific methodology for testing the synthesis phase, using the LLM as judge pattern.
Once the agent completes the DAG and the synthesizer generates the final user-facing response, you cannot rely on manual human review for every output in a CI/CD pipeline. You deploy a high-parameter frontier model like GPT-40 or Claude 3.5 Sonnet, acting as an automated judge to grade the quality of the response. But relying on an LLM to judge an LLM is dangerous. If you simply prompt a model with, "Is this a good answer?" the model's inherent bias will almost universally result in it saying, "Yes, this looks great."
To combat that inherent bias, the specification outlines a rigorous multi-step engineering process. The foundation of this process requires the creation of a golden dataset.
The golden dataset is the ground truth for your evaluation pipeline.
It requires a significant upfront investment. Engineering teams must manually curate a dataset of 200 to 500 highly representative complex prompts. Senior engineers must then manually evaluate and score the agent's synthesized responses to those prompts. This dataset serves as the absolute baseline of quality. You run your evaluation pipeline against these prompts and rigorously compare the automated LLM judge's score against the human engineer's score to ensure strict alignment.
The configuration of the prompt given to the LLM judge is the critical variable here. The sources provide deeply specific, actionable engineering tips for writing robust evaluation prompts.
The most critical directive is enforcing critique-driven scoring. Never allow the judge model to simply output a raw numerical score. If you instruct the model to rate a response from 1 to 10 and it simply outputs the integer 8, you have absolutely no diagnostic data regarding why it chose that number.
The model itself likely does not know why it chose an 8. It merely generated a statistically probable integer from its latent space based on the surrounding context.
Exactly. To stabilize the judgment, you must force the model to write a detailed analytical critique before it emits the final score. This forces the model to utilize its chain of thought mechanism, By requiring the model to explicitly state the specific reasons why a response succeeded or failed, the model locks itself into a logical, defensible framework. This consistently results in a much more accurate, aligned final score.
You structure the prompt to demand. Write a 3-paragraph critique analyzing the security implications of this code snippet, evaluating its adherence to best practices, and only then output a numerical score on the final line. That single structural tweet completely transforms the reliability of your automated evals.
The specification provides a second critical warning regarding position bias.
This issue frequently invalidates entire testing pipelines if engineers are unaware of it.
When you are running comparative evaluations, for instance, testing whether your newly updated agent architecture performs better than the previous version, you provide the judge with Model A's output and Model B's output and ask it to select the superior response. Language models suffer from a mathematically verifiable position bias. They inherently favor the first option presented in the context window.
If your test runner always injects the output from the new architecture first, the new architecture will mathematically win more often simply due to its position in the prompt. That bias fundamentally corrupts your deployment data.
To mitigate this, your evaluation runner must be programmed to dynamically handle positionality. It must automatically swap the order of the candidate answers for every test execution, or alternatively, execute every test twice, once with candidate A in the primary position and once with candidate B in the primary position. Only by averaging those results do you neutralize the bias. These stringent engineering practices separate fragile prototype agents from resilient, production-grade AI systems.
The entire shift we are discussing is about abandoning the prompt engineering mindset and returning to foundational software engineering principles. We are designing test-driven, type-safe, architecturally sound pipelines. Let us summarize the core concepts we have mapped out on the whiteboard today. If you are developing in Node or TypeScript, the era of relying on an endless, unstructured React loop to solve complex tasks is over.
It is rapidly becoming a legacy implementation pattern.
The React loop remains applicable for specific use cases. If you are constructing a highly interactive, human-in-the-loop chat interface where the user frequently interrupts or alters the objective mid-sentence, the continuous adaptability of React is beneficial. But if your objective is to build true autonomous systems agents designed to operate unsupervised, orchestrate dozens of network requests, and execute reliably without destroying your API budget plan, and execute is the necessary architectural foundation.
It transitions your system from a loop to a structured pipeline. It elevates the execution strategy to a first-class, inspectable JSON object governed by strict type safety via tools like SOD. It drastically reduces latency by enabling the parallel execution of independent tasks through the Node event loop. It slashes your API costs by segmenting the context window and dynamically routing simple tasks to cheaper models. Crucially, it provides a massive new testing surface area, allowing you to rigorously evaluate the agent's logical reasoning using standard unit tests before allocating resources to execution.
It represents a massive leap forward in system reliability. But before we conclude this deep dive, we need to extrapolate from the data. Building on the specifications we have analyzed today, what is the logical conclusion of this architectural trend? Where does this paradigm ultimately lead the industry?
If we carefully analyze the source material, specifically the integration of OpenAI's latent reasoning in the O1 models and the broader industry focus on test-time compute scaling, there is a fascinating and somewhat disruptive provocation to consider. The industry is currently shifting massive amounts of computational power away from the execution phase and reallocating it to the planning phase. We are fundamentally instructing the models to think significantly longer before they take a single action.
And if this scaling law holds, and if the compute dedicated to the planning phase continues to increase exponentially, we are rapidly approaching a threshold. Future models will not merely generate a single JSON plan, or even 5 competing plans like the Amazon Q system. The latent space could generate millions of microplans simultaneously. The system could simulate the environmental outcomes of every single plan, mathematically prove the absolute optimal execution path, and refine it to perfection before a single line of actual code is touched.
The model would simulate the entire execution environment and network topology internally, resolving all edge cases in its head before interacting with the real world.
Precisely. And if that level of simulation becomes standard, it raises a profound architectural question for you to mull over. Will the execution phase eventually become a mere formality? What happens to the discipline of software engineering when an AI system utilizes 99% of its massive computational capacity to architect the perfect, mathematically proven, flawless plan, and only requires 1% of its compute to blindly type the code?
That is a staggering implication for the future of development. The code base itself ceases to be the primary focus. The code becomes merely the exhaust byproduct of the planning phase. The architecture is the entire product.
That concept is the perfect, mind-bending place to conclude our session. We have covered a massive amount of technical ground today, from quantifying the token glut of the React tax, to implementing ZOD validation pipelines, exploring the multiverse parallel execution of Amazon Q, and detailing the strict test-driven development of JSON DAGs. Take these patterns back to your IDEs, examine your asynchronous while loops, define your ZOD schemas, and start architecting structured, reliable pipelines. Keep building and keep architecting.